Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. John chapter 16, verses 23 through 33, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, "See, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." When we are baptized, we are joined to Christ. As St. Paul puts it, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The Bible doesn't say anything about confirmation. Jesus didn't institute it. It is not a sacrament. But we keep this church custom for good reason. When we're baptized as babies, we cannot publicly confess the faith into which we are being baptized. Others speak for us. Confirmation gives us the opportunity to confess the faith to which God called us when he baptized us. There are a few bad jokes about confirmation. You may have heard the one about getting rid of the bats in the church by confirming them. The reason they are bad jokes is because there's nothing funny about reneging on a public promise that we make to God and to his church. And there's no more important promise than the promise of our baptism, that we confirm when we are confirmed. We renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. We confess our faith in the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We confess that the teaching we have learned from the Catechism is true, and we promise to continue to confess it until we die. We promise that we will come to church faithfully to hear God's Word and receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. We promise to live a Christian life. The Christian life is a life of prayer. Jesus talks about prayer in our text for today. He invites us to pray to the Father in heaven. He says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." On the basis of our text, let us ask and answer three questions. First, what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Second, why will the Father give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name? Third, what should we pray for? To ask the Father in Jesus' name does not mean to say the words in Jesus' name every time we pray. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name, but the name Jesus is not in this prayer. To ask the Father in Jesus' name means to pray to the Father through faith in his Son, Jesus. To have faith is to believe. Faith is the noun and believe is the verb. Your faith is what you believe. A statement of what you believe is a creed. A summary of the Christian faith is given in the Apostles' Creed. Listen to this beautiful explanation of the second article of the Creed from Luther's Small Catechism. "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true." And all of this is expressed in our text for today in these words of Jesus: I came forth from God, I came forth from the Father, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He came from the Father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He came into the world. He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He left the world and went to the Father. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The prayer that God the Father promises to hear and answer is the prayer of faith in this Lord Jesus. Faith says, "It was for me that he was born, lived, obeyed, suffered, died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. It is for me that he intercedes at the right hand of God the Father. He prays for me because I am his. He bought me with his own blood. He loved me from eternity and came into this world for my sake." To ask your Father in heaven in Jesus' name is to ask him as his child. It's a popular notion that everyone is a child of God because, after all, didn't God make us all? Yes, he did, but we are estranged from our Creator from birth. As the pastor says at the baptism, the Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil. Until Christ claims us as his own, we would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To believe in Jesus is to believe what the Bible says about him is true. It's to believe that he's true God and true man. It's to believe that he has redeemed you with his blood. It is to believe that your Father in heaven looks favorably on you and forgives you all your sins on account of Christ. And this brings us to the second question we will answer today on the basis of our text. Why will the Father give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name? Jesus gives us the answer. He says, "I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." It goes without saying that Jesus will pray the Father for us. That's what he does. That's what it means to confess that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes. But it's not as if the Father wants to nail us for our sins and Jesus tries to talk him out of it. Jesus said, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." You love Jesus? Jesus' Father loves you. You believe that Jesus came from God? God loves you. God loves you so much because he loves Jesus so much. You have learned that God punished Jesus on Calvary for your sins. That doesn't look like love. It looks like vengeance. How can punishment be love? But even while Jesus was suffering the pains of the damned on the cross, bearing the sin, the divine judgment, and the wrath of God against all sinners, the Father loved him. The Father delighted in him. The Father has always loved the Son, and he always will. When you are a Christian, you have Christ. And when you have Christ, you have the Father's love. Don't forget that. Your Father in heaven loves you more than words can express. Look at the price Jesus paid for you. The Father who loved him asked him to pay it, and he paid it. The Father looks on the sacrifice of his Son, and he loves him. He loves you because he loves his Son. Which brings us to the third question that we will answer this morning on the basis of our text. What should we pray for? Jesus says, whatever. There are no limits. We learn this by learning the Lord's Prayer. There are seven petitions in this prayer. Six of the seven petitions ask God for spiritual benefits, but we also ask Him for our bodily needs. We pray for our daily bread. Whatever you need, that's what you should pray for. God will provide for your bodily needs. Jesus proved it by feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with just five loaves of bread and two small fish. But when you pray in Jesus' name, when you ask your Father in heaven for what you need, you're praying mostly for spiritual benefits. What should you pray for? Pray that God's name be hallowed. Pray that God's kingdom come. Pray that God's will be done. Pray God to forgive you your sins. Pray God to keep you from falling into sin. Pray God to rescue you from all evil that may assault your body and soul. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for your enemies. Pray for peace, reconciliation, and brotherly love. Pray for your country and her leaders. Pray for what God promises. Whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, He will give it to you. You may not get it right away. He may answer you without you noticing He did. In time, you will learn that He did. Don't stop praying. Pray because Jesus told you to. Pray because Jesus promised the Father will give you what you pray for. Pray because you need to talk to your Father in heaven. Pray because you know without any doubt at all that your Heavenly Father loves you, wants to hear your prayers, and is willing and able to give you what you pray for. The life of a Christian is a life of praying. You pray in church with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You pray at home with your family. You pray when you're all alone and only God can hear what you have to say. You talk to the one who has talked to you. You go to the Word of God. You listen to what He says. And that's how you learn how to pray and how to keep on praying. The first chief part of Christian doctrine is the Ten Commandments. God's law, it shows us how to live. It shows us that we've sinned. The second chief part of Christian doctrine is the Creed, God's gospel. It tells us what to believe. It tells us about our salvation in Christ. And then the third chief part of the catechism is the Lord's Prayer that teaches us Christians how to talk to God. Pray. God may try you, but no good thing will He deny you. Amen. It is our privilege to bring this broadcast, Christ for Us, to you every week on this channel. I'd also like to invite you to the services of our parish. On Sunday morning, we have Bible class at 7 o'clock and divine service at 8 o'clock at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview. We have Bible class at 9:15 and church at 10 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. And beginning on June the 12th, we will have Wednesday evening vespers at 6:15 at Trinity in Sydney. We thank you for joining us for this broadcast every week, and tune in next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.